Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Some questions by the way, remember I was talking yesterday, we're just about to kick off yesterday's program, and I got kind of distracted. And I said, my favorite, really the best program on television is America's Funniest Videos. I was listening to the radio yesterday. And America's Funniest Videos, because it's safe and it's just funny. Someone's enjoy it. But I don't enjoy people hurting themselves. People laugh and say, how could that be funny?
Mm. Unlike some people.
That just doesn't make sense to me. I guess the empathy in my heart, I'm like, ow, I feel it. Oh, you know. Mm. So here I am. I'm in Franklin, North Carolina, on this cabin in the middle of nowhere. Surprised it even had any had satellite, I think, coming into it. And I'm watching America's Funniest Videos. And what happens is when I see something that's tragic, and a lot of people do this, they take their hands and they put them on both sides of their faces. They go, oh, like this, you know. You just put your hand over both. Somebody, you grab your face. You grab your face And this motorcycle person that was riding a motorcycle had just did something crazy and go surprise and like landed upside down on his neck or something. Oof. And I didn't see the rest. I closed my eyes, but I took my hands and I slapped both sides of my head. Oh my goodness. I went bam. And I hear him on a sabbatical in the middle of the wilderness. Oh, I'm planning on spending time reading God's word, spending time with him and praying and trying to hear him out. But I wear glasses. I wear glasses. And I'm watching this funniest video thing. And as soon as I hit boom, both sides of my face is my glasses right in the middle. And went boom. And
just my goodness.
I'm like, oh my goodness. This is not good. This is not good, you know. And my glasses just bent up like a 90 degree burn inside of them. I never thought about that. I just never thought about that actually happening before. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to, you know? And then, of course, a lot of prayer and miracles that.
Some duct tape.
No, I don't. They don't have duct tape, I don't think, in Franklin area.
No.
I was able to bend back and just, it was probably amazing, but I just almost broke my glasses. Now, if I watch America's Funny Videos, I sit on my hands.
Or slap Pat.
Yeah, right. Oh, that was major. Well, yeah, some things I think about that just kind of, you know, I just ponder. Just some questions I think about because we're looking at how things are, and it just makes me wonder. Something like this. You know, how can a Christian man or woman who is addicted to internet pornography, which is 50% of men, 20% of Christian men, 20% of Christian women, stand in righteous judgment about the sexuality of the world as so many do? Mm. It just makes me wonder. It's like, really? Mm. Yes, God can forgive and set us free, but the question is, if this is what we're doing, judging others like this, will he? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He says in I think Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he says, at whatever point you're judging others, you're doing that yourself. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're creating a bad, you know, return on yourself. Or how can Christian men and women march outside Washington, D.C., protesting taxes, money being taken away from them? They said, they're taking our money. They're robbing us. You know, that they're protesting taxes that the government has taken from them when, according to George Barna, 97% of them, of Christians, are robbing from God and not giving him his tithes and offerings. Yes, you know, God can forgive us, but what does that say about the church? What does that say about us? Mm. And what does that mean for our future if we don't even understand, if we're robbing from God while we're complaining about somebody robbing from us? Isn't that like what Pat talked about, we talked about yesterday, about forgiveness? You talked about forgiveness, remember, John?
Yeah.
Mm. That that here we are choking out the government for our taxes, while all along we're robbing God of his tithe.
Crazy.
It's not good. Tormented and tortured, right?
Mm-hmm.
A new form of government arises. or you think about this, that how can tell me now if you don't see this happening in society in the world.
No, I see it.
Okay. How can a man and a woman who decided to murder their child in its mother's womb feel it's their place to call the police on another man and woman who decided not to murder their child, but to have them and raise them and discipline them and call in the police because they spanked their child and calling it abuse? How could that even be? And somebody says, well, that's the world. Well, 55 million murders have taken place in the last 40 years. That's 3,767 children murdered in the womb every day. Or 156 children murdered an hour over the last 40 years. But yet, it just seems like this whole system is against the parents who decided not to. You know what it is? It's just a satanic thing. You know, the enemy convinced one to end their child's life, and now he's trying to stop the other one from raising that child. It's all against the next generation. But how could someone who has murdered their child feel in any way it's their place to tell anyone how to raise their child?
Anyone.
Anyone. Yes, God can and will forgive, but will he, if this is the position someone has taken, criticizing the parents for raising their children God's way according to biblical instructions? Just things that I ponder. How can Christians demand prayer in school for their children when their children say, my parents don't even pray in their homes? Could it be that prayer has left the school because it has left our homes? Just things that I think about. How can Christians, another one, how can Christians march outside of a courthouse with picket signs and megaphones demanding the Ten Commandments to be placed back on the courtroom wall when 82% of them don't even read the Bible for where the Ten Commandments are found? And most couldn't even tell you what the Ten Commandments are or where to find them in the Bible they're not even reading. Is it that they are taking down the Ten Commandments from the public square because God's people, Christians, have taken them down in their own homes and their hearts? I think I have one more. How is it that Christians have no qualm about organizing political action committees and protests to tell their government that they are out of order and taking too much control in their lives when Christian families are so out of order, according to God's expectation of order, that if the world knew God's order, they would turn the tables on the church and they would tell us, you get your house in order first before you come and tell us how to get the House of Representatives in order. Is God going to give a pass to this generation when it comes to his order? Or is he the same God yesterday, today, and forever? There is an order for marriage, but wives are ruling over their husbands from behind and up in front. There is an order to family, but yet children are ruling over their parents and running their fathers off or ruling their fathers through their mothers. There is an order to church which has almost totally left the family order, the family of God. Father, son order. How can someone that is out of order think that they can truly help the world and its systems get in order? How? Think about it. Are those not true when we're talking about it?
Oh, yeah. So true.
And that's the whole thing. It's like, ooh, It's like,
careful.
You know, we need God here. It's not, remember, we didn't do this. God did it. And, but we can repent. We can turn back to him. And I was talking about some different things that, and it was the last part, and you also can catch it in highlights, but I was talking about the last part of that first hour about just things that you observe and you look at. And when you think about it, you know, when you see those kind of things, you got to ask yourself, and I'm not saying this, I'm not saying don't try to affect those in the world or influence others. I'm saying that the method of doing this is living a life of light. It's being the example. It's being right before God and man, living in humility before God and man, allowing God to use our light to give people hope that they can live a life as they're seeing reflected in our life. Mm-hmm. It's not how we march on the outside. It's how we march on the inside. Mm. I mean, Joseph won over Pharaoh because of what he had on the inside of him, not what he had on the outside of him. You know, Charles Simpson recently said, Charles Simpson Ministries out of Mobile, Alabama, actually, a preacher who has the mumps, a preacher that has the mumps can preach measles all he wants. But when he gets done preaching, the people he just spoke to, they're going to have the mumps. Mm. Because it's what he has. Mm. We produce what we are, not what we tell people we are. We reproduce what we are, not what we tell people. We don't teach people right. They look at our lives and they imitate us. We teach them, but it's our lives that comes together as the amen. We're practicing what we're preaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I believe the condition of America and those things that I was just talking about, I believe the condition of America has been caused by the condition of the church. Mm. This is something that just drives home with Charles Simpson, is that he says over and over again, and it's true. You know, theology pushes culture. Theology, when our theology is wrong, the culture is wrong. When our theology is right, which is how we what we worship and who we worship. Mm-hmm. So theology pushes culture. It's what determines how the culture is going to be. Mm-hmm. So when the culture is wrong economically, it means our theology is wrong economically. Or something in our theology about God is wrong, meaning how we see God in our life and what his expectations are of us. And I believe that the condition of America, these weird things that I was just talking about that are realities, has been caused because of the condition of our theology, the condition of the church, what we think about God and what we think God expects of us and how we respond to what God wants us to do. First Chronicles, I believe, is where he says, if my people who are called by my name, mm-hmm. he says right before that, he says, listen, when I send a plague amongst you,
all right.
when I dry up the skies, when your culture and your environment begin to fall apart, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and their culture, their land, their politics, their jobs, their economy, all these different things, I'll heal that. I'll heal their land. And so it's the opposite. We don't march in front of the courthouse and demand them to put 10 commandments up when we don't even have them up in our heart. The way we get the commandments up in the courtroom is we put them back up in our heart and homes.
Yeah.
We don't try to get Congress in order by telling them to get in order. We go back home and said, you know, listen, baby, we're Christians. We profess to be Christians, and we're going to live our marriage and our family in the order of God. You know, have a come to Jesus meeting in your home, you mm-hmm. know, and say, you know, this is how God says it's supposed to be, and we're going to walk this out by his grace. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to walk this thing out, and we're going to be order. We're going to be order. We're not going to tell order. And when we speak, we're speaking from our own personal experience of order, which means there's an anointing in that, that people will look and say, you practice what you preach. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healthy communication is vital for a healthy marriage. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and a lack of talking truthfully can harm your relationship. Here's family counselor Dr. Randy Carlson.
I think a great discussion within a married relationship is, when do we feel closest? What's happening in the relationship when we feel that? But I would encourage a woman to sit down with her husband and honestly talk about this. Again, I think it's so often what happens is disrespect shows up, words start to fly, people withdraw from each other, a wall goes up, sexual games start to get played, as opposed to just being honest.
Be proactive and protect against problems by being honest with your spouse about what's working and what's not working in your relationship. Then stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage for more trusted advice.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him. Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that, right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus.
Wash me.
And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light.
That's LIGHT, Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
When we begin to see our economy and our taxes and the government pulling more money from away from us, we don't sit there and tell them to quit that. We go back and check ourselves and say, listen, God, have I been pulling away from you?
Yeah.
Have I been robbing you? Is George Barner correct?
Yeah.
Is George, and what that means is it has nothing to do with money. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what that statistic says, which I believe is crucial amongst everything else, it mm-hmm. says that God doesn't have our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what, you know, where your treasure is, where your heart is. If 97% of regular church attenders that go in their gatherings at least once every 2 weeks are robbing from God, their treasure is not in they didn't give God what was his, and their treasure's in the world, then that means God doesn't have their heart. I mean, I can't find that any other way, which breaks my heart, because how can you not love God who loves you so much? And the thing is, what are we doing as leaders? Is that, you know, we want to encourage you. Listen, it's your heart that God wants.
If he doesn't have your heart, what does he have? Which makes people fall into a place of religion. Right. Because if you don't have, you're going through the motions. Everything begins with your heart. Every issue of life flows out of your heart. If he doesn't have your heart, he has nothing.
Can you imagine being at the wedding with your bride or bridegroom, and you look at them and you say, listen, I just want to let you know, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you. And my body's going to be in this relationship, but my heart's not going to be in it.
Yeah. How long is that going to last?
And it's just, it'll put a chill up her spine. Like, this is so wonderful. Oh my goodness. I'm just so glad I got your flesh.
Right.
Or he goes, oh, I'm just so what? And the thing is, that's what the today's twisted heresy, I guess, would be.
Yeah.
That God wants your flesh. That counts for what? Nothing.
Nothing. And look at the flip side. When you see people that truly marry out of the heart and they have each other's heart, no matter what happens in their lives and all their bodies and everything that's breaking down, they're still just so madly in love with each other because it was about their heart. It wasn't about all this other external junk and stuff. Really, I mean, it's beautiful. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of people look at that and go, that's what I want. But yes. Mm-hmm. And so the church, if we want things to get right in the world and the land, and we want the land to be healed, we got to give our hearts to God. Mm. We got to give our hearts to God. And so we think about it. So how does this thing work? Where does it begin at? It begins, how do we transform the world? And I know ministers right this very moment that their heart, man, they just, in their mind at least, they want to be a part of transforming a nation. They want to be a part of transforming a city. But the thing is, they haven't transformed their heart. Their heart, things they're doing and things they're not doing and things are not right. It's like, you're not reproducing transformation in your life, in your city, when you're not willing to have your heart transformed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why do you want a religious experience in your state or your nation or your whatever? You know, don't you want the love of God? You know,
are we tired of that already?
Yeah,
that work? What does that produce?
Right. Go to Rome and check it out and see if it worked in Rome. But anyway, and so we want to see transformation in our cities and in our lives. First of all, we have to realize everybody's not going to want it, but we can begin. There's a starting point, and the starting point is not a religious starting point. It's a relationship starting point. It's called the man in the mirror. James says, don't be like a person who looks in the mirror, looking at yourself, and then walks away and forgets what they saw.
Right.
These are deceived people. Well, we have to begin. If we want to begin to, we've been looking intently into the world and the political systems and the economies and all these other kind of things, instead of looking intently into our hearts and allowing the God's word to begin to just delve into the crevices of our hearts and saying, you know, the key to the transformation of this nation, the state, the city, or whatever, or my family, whatever it is going to be me starting with me. Like Charles Seymour with Azusa Street, like Amy Semple McPherson, Mariah Eder, Dowie, on and on. And so, or this is what it's, somebody says, well, yeah, it needs to start at the church. It needs to start. And they just picture this whatever building they're meeting. It says, But I want to tell you that it starts at the temple, you're right, and it starts at the building, you're right, and it starts at the house of God, you're right. But what, this is one area you might that you might not know about. You are the temple of God. You are the building of God, and you are the house of God. And then he says that judgment begins at the house of God. It doesn't begin in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of us, the church, having saying things and doing things that ought not to be so. And when we all by ourselves with God, you know, make it right and get it right. And when we do that, people around us can tell it's right by our fruit and our life and how we're living our life. That just kind of has a concentric effect and works out from you in your sphere of, and everybody wants that. Everybody wants that. And so the thing is that when you start seeing all these things going on, we have to ask ourselves, instead of thinking negatively about the people that are trying to pursue the things in the flesh. And when you see all those contradictions where people are doing the very thing they're protesting and all that, what they're trying to do, they're thinking righteousness comes through works. And they're trying to make things right by getting, enforcing, and telling people different rules and regulations and stuff. But that doesn't work. That's why Jesus came. So we need to first get right with God ourselves, not through works, but by grace and mercy, and say, Lord, I need to be right in my heart. I need to be at peace with you. No matter whether I'm part of something or not, and there's some people who just want to be a part of something. It's just real strange and weird. Instead of just saying, what does God have in store for me? What am I supposed to do? What is God's expectation of me? This is a whole theater of many different roles that God has many generations in this present generation have parts. You have a part to play. You know, some parts are 30 years, some parts are 3 years. Jesus was 3 years when he did his ministry, was 3 year part.
Right.
33 total part here when he was on earth. Mm-hmm. And so many people are just looking, trying to be a part and play everybody else's role. But what is your role? What are you called to do? And it takes a lot of pressure off of you because you just do what God's called you to do. And you'll find out it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. We can't keep on walking these contradictions. Yes, the world don't know. And we set ourselves up as an adversarial role towards the world. We start telling them that you need to be righteous. And they will start seeing us as an adversary. And all of a sudden, the world will respond to that and begin to see unnecessary persecution come against the church when we should have actually got right with God, begin to live a life that they can't even resist, and that many of them want to be able to come to God themselves and begin to walk with God. They become jealous, going like, did God do that for you? Did he forgive you? Did he bless you like that? Did he keep your marriage together? Did he, you know, they start finding all these testimonies of the goodness of God. And many that would have joined God didn't, because they thought that person was walking with God, but they weren't walking with God. They were walking in religion. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can look at that and go, this is crazy. Or we can look at it and go, no, the truth is that's works. That's all works. You know, political action committees and all this kind of stuff, which now, in fact, this is true too. If we were holy in our own works, if we weren't in sin, if it wasn't 65% of the abortions weren't coming from the church, if we weren't addicted to the internet, all these things, if we were that holy people, then maybe that'd be different. But that's not our story. Our story is that we are in the sin, the very sin we accuse the world of. Mm. And the only remedy for that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace and the love of God. And he's wide open for it, but we cannot bring our works to him. We cannot say, I want to keep some of this works. I just want to throw your hands up and just say, God, forgive me. I want to start. I'm willing to reboot, start again, forget what's behind, press on towards what's ahead, just as long as you'll have me. I'll be a doorkeeper in your house, God. Mm. Anything you want me to do, I am yours. I am sold out to you, Jesus. And it's amazing, the refreshing that comes over your life, and the pressure is off because you have all these religious burdens on it anymore. And then, instead of trying to make signs and march down the street, you can be a sign as you walk down the street.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You'll want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States. Because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you, so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
When you look at the kings, how many kings were there before Israel went into captivity? How many leaders were there? You know, think about it. It wasn't that many. And what are we, our own president, like 44, 45, someone 44? Mm-hmm. I went, hey, that's a lot. That's a lot of leaders, isn't it? And so you think about, okay, we could just walk into captivity like somebody else.
That's right.
And things are being set up in our nation right now. And I truly believe you need to go to listen this, to the state of our nation on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. You got to watch these prophetic teachings. The state of a nation is America under judgment. Josiah, it's so important to understand Josiah, because despite all the wrongness, Josiah, when he found out what the rightness was, he did it. And God was so impressed. The Word of God says there never was a king before him or after him that was that good. And he stopped God's definite judgment on a generation, or at least as long as he was alive, and was in rulership. He paused. He put
because God was bringing this on his people. He's about to bring down, you know, great captivity and suffrage on his people. And one man who read the word of God and believed what God said and responded to it and began to preach to others, he stopped. He put God's judgment on pause. And somebody says, well, that's pretty cool. Well, what's so cool about that is this. Others can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
People can come to the Lord. You know, people can turn. And if enough turn, if God would pause it for Josiah,
right,
wouldn't he pause it for Jehoiakim? Wouldn't he pause it for Hezekiah? And these are just lineages after him.
Mm-hmm.
And, but as soon as he died, at the hand of Pharaoh, by the way, you know, an Egyptian Pharaoh,
mm-hmm,
and he went to go be with us. They carried his Bible. I could really feel the pain of a man who paused the judgment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the people, their pain, when they realized that he was the thumb in the proverbial dike that was going to hold back this flood that was going to destroy us. And his limp body coming back from the river where his life was taken. And he's not, at that point, he's with God. And they're carrying his body back. And it talks about, you know, the year that King Josiah died.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the turning point, you know. And I can just imagine carrying this hope back.
Mm.
You know, and it's over at this point. You know, at that point, one of his sons pop up and they go, oh, I'll do this thing. And that's about a 90-day job.
Yeah, right.
And then and he tries to make a partnership with Egypt. He thinks he's got it all figured out. And they take him down. And then Josiah's other son goes in, and they put him into place. And this is Josiah's son. That's a normal progression of a reign. The difference is that was God's order, but God did not have his heart. He made a pact, a covenant, if you would, with Egypt, and Egypt changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means a man that God raised up.
Right.
A God set man, and he had this detailed partnership with Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And what that meant too was that he was going to pay excessive money to Egypt. He's going to pay tribute to them, which means we got money, we're going to gather it together, and we're going to give it to you. That was how he's going to pay tribute to Egypt.
Right.
And so to do that, he brought excessive taxes on Israel. And so all of a sudden the taxes have been raised to this high level, and even to the point of some quotes, even in some of the leaders today, says 100% tax,
right,
is a fair tax. But hey, you know, if we didn't give God our heart, he's saying is that's servitude, by the way, 100% tax.
Mm-hmm.
You work, you got nothing, we give you bread and water, that type of thing. And so this transference of wealth that we're seeing take place today is taking place because we've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see Ahab, you know, he didn't repent and humble himself and God respond. When we see Nineveh repent and they humble themselves and God stops the plans he intended to bring destruction. When we read about, you know, in Ezekiel 33, where I believe where he says, you know, if you warn the people and they respond and things stop, that we can stop this. I mean, this is a huge sign before. I was talking about harbingers. Listen, I'm talking to you now about them. We're paying tribute to not only Egypt, but also to the Islamic world, where we're sending our money all over the place. We're paying tribute to every nation out there, almost, it seems like. And it's because we've sinned. It's because we've sinned. We've turned away from God's original intent for us, the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and his word and his expectations of us. And what Josiah did, and you got, I mean, I'm just giving you a taste of this, that Josiah, the religious leaders of that day put all kinds of wrong things in their hearts, in the temple of God, know that we are the temple of God. So stuff to us today, it's like stuff in us.
Mm-hmm.
And God touched Josiah's heart, who started at a young age as a leader. And he sent some people to go clean it out, clean out the house of God. And that's what we need to do, is just clean our hearts out.
All right.
And when he did that, all of a sudden these priests, these preachers, these these not they weren't they're priests. They're, yeah. You know, they come out of the temple because they know that these guys are going to go back and dig in the back room and find something called the Word of God. And they come out and they say, "Look at what we found." It's like, really? Are you serious? I mean, you're actually a priest. I mean, you're actually a
supposed to know this.
Preacher. You're the one. This is how this whole thing works.
All right.
The building that you're in was designed through in the Word of God. And so then he says, "I want it read to me." And so he has the secretary read it to him, and he's shocked. Josiah is shocked that God's people were totally in rebellion to his word. He was just shocked. He couldn't believe it. And then he realized God's anger is burning against us. Listen, America, God's anger is burning against us. Shut your ears to the person who says his anger is not burning. His anger, listen, if his anger was burning against Israel, who do you think you are as an American to think that God's not anger's not burning against you or me or us? God's anger, he realized when he got in the word, he realized this is not right. And he ripped his clothes. He took his clothes and he ripped his robe and he personally repented and got his life right before God and all the people. He first dealt with himself, and that's what we have to first do, is deal with ourselves. We got to repent for our own sin. We got to humble ourselves and come to the cross of Jesus and make things right with God and serve him and him only and begin to be his disciple, learn his ways, follow them, abide with him, and obey him in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And understand that, then he began to talk to others and tell them what he learned and what he's personally walking on. A lot of times the reason why people ain't listening to you is because you're not walking in the very thing that you're talking about.
Right.
But you have to be a doer of the word and not just somebody just talking about it. And when you do, God's presence is with you, and it doesn't mean they're going to follow you, but at least that you know now you're actually delivered in the right way that they could hear it. So Josiah did that. And then he began to tear down all these high places, all these Moloch altars all over the place. What's a Moloch altar in America? It just happens to have a stucco building around it, a shopping center building around it. But if you go all the way down in there, you'll see a metal table in there. And that's exactly on this metal table where they sacrifice children to Moloch. It's called abortion.
Right.
So it's taking place. Innocent blood. This is exactly why God was bringing judgment above all things, because of the innocent blood. Manasseh shed so much blood. It was bloodshed from end to end of Israel. And God was telling Josiah that judgment is going to come. It's over. And so when Josiah began to repent, and you can watch this prophetic teaching on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and look at your menu up there, and you'll see VFN TV in the middle there. Hit that, and you'll see several prophetic teachings to encourage you. But this one called Josiah, you have to understand it, because when he did that, God thought so much. Listen, Josiah was like, prior to that, obviously a wicked man because he didn't have any righteousness or righteous ways in him. But he right. repented. Once he found out what was right, he repented. That's all God wants from us.
Right.
So often the enemy beats us up because we made so many mistakes from yesterday back. We think, how can from today on be right? It's called forgiveness. It's called the mercy and grace of God.
Right.
Don't let your past override your destiny and your future. Look at Josiah's life, because once he found out what was right, he did what was right, and God honored him. And because he was king, he was the decider, he could go and tell people, listen, this is how it's going to be. We're going to tear down these altars. We're going to serve God. And he began to teach the word of God and have it taught over the people and said, this is who we're going to follow. We're going to follow God. And God kept them and blessed them and described Josiah as there never was a king before or after like him. I mean, he was an awesome dude, an awesome king. And once he found out what was right, he did what was right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has I put this article out there in Charisma Magazine, and it's the anointing. It transferred.
I know, isn't amazing? Help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, not a problem. Oh,
mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has that big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
So, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say it.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call okay. it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Croak. Okay. Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio. We're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's
croaks?
Just So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote. Very
Let's
serious
get in the serious
yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
Ian, we are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay. So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But then, like I said, upon his death, and imagine this is the man, this is the whole thing. Now it rides on, will those who were following him as he followed God, will they follow God? Were they just doing it to please him, or were they doing it to please God? Because if you're doing what you're doing to please God, it doesn't matter what happens to anybody. You're still going to walk with God. It's not contingent upon anybody. Like in the first hour, Rick Joyner said, and this is what I live my life by. If we're doing what we do the right way, if whatever reason we were to be taken out, nothing's going to stop, because you've been taught to hear the voice of God, and you've been taught how to be a disciple of God, and how to make disciples, and how to be safe in Him. So it's not, you should never minister in such a way that everything rides on you. You should be constantly empowering people to walk with God. We don't have positions of power, but empowerment. You won't be. You're going to answer for making them, you know, dependent on you instead of dependent on God. By the way, because he said in the last days men will worship angels. The word angels, messenger. And I wonder if you're having them worship you instead of worship God. Mm. Question. So anyway, so Josiah, here he is. He's dead now. Like I was saying, they're carrying his limp body, and you're thinking, what's going to happen? I mean, imagine how tragic this is, because this man, once he heard, and all you have left is his body, because his spirit's with God now, and they're carrying him back, and you're thinking, what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen next? And quite often, it's amazing what happens when a leader passes, how people act. It's like, really? Are you serious? Is that what you doing?
Right.
God's watching you. And they began to do evil. Mm-hmm. Immediately his son takes over and starts leading, and he lasts for 90 days, and he does more evil, just like the same evil, maybe even worse evil, and he provoked God.
Yeah.
And at this point, because God had already spoken judgment over the next son that got in place, he was chosen by Egypt. He was chosen by Egypt, and they changed his name. They didn't use the name Josiah gave him. They gave him the name that they wanted to give him, which was Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim means God's set man, a man that God raised up. So many people think, well, how can an ungodly person, an idolater, somebody who just, you know, denies Jesus Christ, how can they be used to put somebody in place? It's only because you're part of the 81% that don't read the word God. It's not that complicated. It happens all the time.
That's right.
God uses the wicked to punish and discipline his church all the time. And then once he finishes with the punishment, then he whacks the wicked.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so they put him in place, and they name him Jehoiakim, which means, you know, God has raised him up. God set man. And Egypt did this. Where was the first international speech of our current president, President Barack Obama? It was in Cairo, Egypt, at Cairo University. And it was a point of painting a picture to empower, create an atmosphere that would promote the atmosphere to bring and accept the Muslim Brotherhood, who was banned by Mubarak prior to that from even being there, mm-hmm. and to let them rise to power. And that's exactly what happened. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is over Egypt. Listen, we have so much to share with you on this. Listen, and I got to tell you, you got to connect this. It's so important because you're going to be surprised to find out who Josiah is. Understand this, that Josiah, when he died, who actually put the next leader in place, even though he was Josiah's son, or you could say with us, even though it's American, mm-hmm. the choice of that leader was chosen by Egypt. Chosen by Egypt.
Yeah.
And when you look at what's going on, it's just like, it looks like we have it on the best case scenario is somebody that is so Egyptian friendly that we teach sensitivity training for Islam to our people, that all of a sudden we're more Islamists than we are Americans. Mm. We're more sensitive to Islam than we are to our Constitution. We're more sensitive to Muhammad than we are to Jesus. And it's like, okay, that's tribute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That's tribute. This is a warning to us, because this is what he says in Ezekiel, when I bring the sword against you. Think about it. If you could describe what radical Islam is, or the Muslim Brotherhood, and you can see even on this post, there's related articles down below if you're listening to it on The Torch, and you can go to The Torch at vfntv.com and just look at Muslim Brotherhood 101 and see what they believe. Talk about jihadists, what you just saw happen in the Boston bombing, for example. That was jihad, holy war. Mm-hmm. And they see this as a positive thing, and we see it as an ungodly thing. It's not a godly thing.
Right.
And with that, so the next leader of God's people was Jehoiakim, which is God's set man, the man that God raised up. And he put God's people under deep, deep taxation. So what is happening right now in front of us? Well, let me tell you, this is your harbinger. Jehoiakim, our current president, which Americans voted for, so you can't blame it on him. You got to understand, this is what America asked for, is now overtaxing. He is openly saying, I think we should be taxed more. I think we should provide more services, which means more taxes and healthcare and taxes and mm-hmm. you know, sending money to Brazil to drill for oil while banning us drilling for oil here. You know, sending jets and billions of dollars to Egypt while we were struggling to get by, borrowing more and more money from other countries and indebting us. That's called a harbinger, that this is a warning to us that we can repent. It's not over if we repent. The problem is who's listening?
Right.
Who is listening to this warning? And he says, if we do respond to the warning, then God will turn. And what happens then with Zedekiah, which is the son of Josiah, is God's set man. And I truly believe, I just have no doubt that the reason why President Obama is president, because God allowed him to be, because he chooses the leaders and controls their hearts. You know, and that's mm-hmm. what the people asked for. Like everybody asked, didn't want Samuel. They wanted another king, right?
Right.
And you can listen to SOS, which is a prophetic teaching on VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com, and it's probably even connected to this particular post as well if you're listening on The Torch. But he's God's set man to humble us, to go through all those processes, to allow the pressures to get on us, to see if we'll... the hardship will cause us to turn back to God. And right. we're believing that you will. We're believing that you're going to let everything's got to go. I got to have God, that you're just going to turn back to God. And no longer will 97% of the church be robbing God of his tithes and offerings. No longer with the word of God be buried somewhere back in your back room like it was with Israel, the word of God. You're going to pull it out and not only be a reader of it, but you're going to be a hearer and a doer of God's word and blessed in all that you do. That's what we're believing for with this great. That's why we have the third hour with the awakening taking place and the healing revival coming out of South Africa, because it was spoken over America that America would come into a revival or maybe even an awakening, that it would come from Africans. And because of what happened in America, and here it is right now, it's just the anointing is coming out of South Africa around the world, and America's being touched by it. And you can hear it in the third hour. Listen, we need to wake up, because the next one, Egypt takes down Jehoiakim and who they put in place. And then they set another man in place, and they name him Zedekiah. This is the uncle of Jehoiakim, and they're the ones that put him in place. And his name means God is just and righteous. Right now, we just have God set men to humble us. And we're talking to the church here. We're not talking to the world, but obviously experiencing the same humility here. Mm-hmm. And because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. It's us. And so because they didn't respond to Jehoiakim, God set man to humble them, God allows Egypt to put in place Zedekiah. And Zedekiah's name represents God is just and righteous. That's what this means. Jehovah is just and righteous. That all of a sudden now you're going to look at the gavel of judgment is going to start coming down on all of our sins and where we've done, the innocent blood and all the things that have happened. And this is when Israel is taken under Babylonian captivity. At first it was just Egypt, but now God raises up, quote, his servant Nebuchadnezzar, unquote, to be able to take Israel under captivity. And so that happens under Zedekiah's rule, but it was God's set man that progressed to this whole thing. Mm. Listen, this is the direction that we're going. We're going in the direction of Babylonian captivity. We're under, and the history of the world is servitude, and it is, it's not. We are a great experiment that God has blessed us with, called freedom and democracy, and that we are a republic, a representative form of government, and we're not a democratic government. We're a democracy. That's a republic, which means a representative government, that if we will turn to God, things just turn around, because it's so important. And this all started, remember, when I was talking to you about Josiah when he had died, but God put judgment on pause because Josiah read the word of God or had it read to him, and he repented and he realized God's anger was burning against him. Because he was a king, he could do that and tell the people, take down this high place, tear that down over here. He would teach the word of God and says, this is what we'll do. But the difficulty in America is this. You cannot preach the gospel from Washington, D.C., because it's a representative form of government. We send them there. We are the ones that are the, quote, kings, unquote, in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. We are Josiah. We are Josiah. But are we ripping our clothes? Are we reading the word of God? Not right now. But if we do, this thing can turn around. God can put this whole thing on pause to give us time to reboot and go back to original founding fathers, God's purpose over this nation and of the church. Listen, we are Josiah. D.C. is not my problem. D.C. is not your problem. We are our own problem. We choose who's there, and we choose our leaders. Find out more by going to VFNTV.com and watch VFNTV's Josiah, and you'll understand more.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Just Fish and Grits, if you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.